All right. Just a few words of instruction and introduction about the 12th chapter of Revelation. First is it has little or nothing to do with the rest of the book. Almost nothing. The book of the 12th chapter goes all the way back to the first and all the way to the end. And what it does, it takes all the history of the devil and the history of man and lumps it into one chapter. Now it's called, I call it a parenthetical chapter in the book of Revelation, which means it has little or nothing to do with the rest of the chapter, or the book, except it does one thing. It is the dividing chapter of the 7-year tribulation period. Everything that takes place before Revelation 12 takes place before in the first half of the tribulation period. Everything that takes place after Revelation 12 takes place after, or in the last half of the tribulation period. Now, let's just look at it and jump right into it. You'll have to follow carefully now because it's not just prophecy. Most of it is history. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, you notice there's what's beside the word wonder? A little L, which means that you go to the center reference, and under L there, the last little letter there, and says a sign. Actually, translated wonder, a sign, or if you'd like to call it a type. Now, somebody asks often, Brother Hiles, how do you know what is literal in the Bible and what is figurative? Now, here's the rule of thumb. Everything that is not told to be figurative is literal. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that goes and sows in the field. That means that's figurative. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. That means that's figurative. So anytime the Bible says like unto, then or a wonder or a sign or a type or a figure, for example, in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is a figure of our salvation. We know that it does not save, it is only a figure. So, unless there is some key that unlocks the Bible and tells us that a certain passage is a figurative, symbolic passage, then we'll take it as being literal. Now, we know then that this is a figurative passage because it is a great sign or type or symbol in heaven. Okay? A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. All right? In the Bible, a woman, there are two good women mentioned in the Bible. That means there are two good women in the whole world. There are two good women symbolically mentioned in the Bible. One is whom? What? No, not Mary. Now, it's symbolic. Now, symbolic. One, no, good women. The false religion is not a good woman. That's a bad woman. There are two good women. One is the all Christian people who formed the bride of Christ. And the other is Israel, who is the wife of Jehovah. Now she's an adulterous wife, but nevertheless, she is the wife and will someday come back and be his wife during the millennial age and even for eternity. All right? Now there are two symbolic good women mentioned in the Bible. One is what or whom? Tell me. The bride, and the other is Israel. Okay, one is the what? Bride, and the other is Israel. Now, we've got to figure out which one this is. Let's look at it again. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. All right, now think a minute. Can you find anything in that passage that would lead us to believe that this is either the bride, all the New Testament Christians, or Israel? Can you find anything? Uh-huh. You think it's what? All right. You think it's Israel because it mentions the 12 stars. Why do you think that? Because there are what? 12 what of Israel? Tribes of Israel. All right? So I think you're right. I think you'll find later that this is that your hypothesis is proved. So let's assume that this is Israel. So I'd take my pen and circle the word woman there. Circle the word woman and write Israel. Israel. Okay? So here's a woman. Here's Israel. Now it says she had on her head a crown of 12 stars. In the Bible, stars are often used symbolically. They're used symbolic of angels. Keep your place in Revelation 12 and go back to Revelation chapter 1. Would you please hold your place in Revelation 12 and go back to Revelation chapter 1. I'll show you an example of it. Verse 20. Revelation 1:20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the what? Angels of the seven churches. All right? So then you can go back to the Revelation 12:1. Now, if it had not said, this is a symbolic chapter, we may have thought these were real stars. But since it is a symbolic chapter, and this woman is not a real woman, but she is Israel, then these stars are not real stars, they're angels. All right, let's go further now. Verse 2. And she, being with child, hold it. She being with child. Did Israel as a nation ever have a child? Who is that child? Yes, Isaiah 9. And his name shall be called Wonderful. The mighty, unto us a child is born. Unto us, who's that? Unto Israel, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And so that child is Jesus. So circle the word child there and write Jesus. Write Jesus. So far in chapter 12 of Revelation, we have gone all the way back to Israel. And she had a child, that's Jesus. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. All right? Now, when did Israel travail in birth and pain to be delivered? When? Throughout the entire Old Testament age. From the time that the Messiah was prophesied till the time that he came, the Jews wanted and looked for the Messiah. They pained for the Messiah. Do you know the Messiah was called the desire of women, and every pure Jewish young lady wanted to be the virgin. And many Jewish young ladies would keep their purity, and some would not even have sex relations in marriage because they wanted to be the virgin who brought forth the Christ child. Okay, here's a woman, and she's pregnant, and the woman is Israel, and the unborn baby is Jesus. And now in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, I've got to figure out who this dragon is. First, is it a real dragon, yes or no? No, because it is a symbol or a wonder or a sign. All right, now, you might want to circle that word dragon and write down beside that verse 9. Verse 9, because verse 9 tells who this dragon is. Okay, look down to verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. All right, then, who's the dragon in verse 3? Talk to me now. Satan. All right, now, so far in the story, we have a woman. Who's the woman? Say it. Israel. She's expecting a child. Who's the child? Jesus. And then there appeared a dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. Okay. Now, verse 4. And his tail... Whose tail? The devil's tail. Drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, does that mean stars? What have we already found out that stars symbolize this chapter? Angels. Can you tell me a time when the devil was cast out of heaven and drew a third of the angels with him? But back yonder, before the world was ever created, as remember I've taught you, there are three archangels. One was Satan, or Lucifer. One was Gabriel, and one was Michael. Michael had one-third of the angels under him. Gabriel had one-third under him. And Lucifer had one-third under him.
In Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer exalted himself above God, and the Bible said he and his angels were cast out of heaven. All right? They were cast out. They still have access to heaven, but they no longer live there. All right? So there you have, in verse 4, the fall of Satan before the world was created. Now, wait a minute. Or at least before man was created. Now, wait a minute. You said, Brother Howells, what's the chronological order here? First, you got a woman expecting a baby. The woman is Israel. The baby is Jesus. Then you got the devil getting cast out of heaven back down before there ever was a woman. What's the chronological order? All right, here it is. Suppose I said, now then, tonight we're going to have our scripture reading. Brother John Colston's going to read the scripture. After that, we're going to have a prayer offered by Dr. Wendell Evans. Dr. Evans was for 11 years dean at the Tennessee Temple College in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, don't you see, I'm in introducing him, I go back and tell what he has done. And so in the introduction here of the devil, who's going to play havoc, the Lord goes back and tells what he has done. And he gives us the history of the devil as he brings an end to this story. Now, the devil is coming into this story to give trouble to the woman and the baby. But the fact that the Lord goes back and tells us about his fall before man was created is meaning the Lord is just simply telling us who the devil is and a bit of background about him. Okay? And his tail through the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. By the way, that's what the devil and his angels were doing on the earth when Adam and Eve were here. They were cast out of heaven to the earth. And the dragon, now we're coming back now to the woman expecting the baby. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Anybody know what that means? It means when Herod was doing what? Killing all of the babies, the male babies. And so that means that this dragon is the devil, as he got into Herod, in an attempt to kill Jesus as soon as he was born. Now let's bring ourselves up to date. The woman is, say it, Israel. And the child she's going to have is Jesus. And the dragon is the devil. And the dragon used to live in heaven. And he had one third of the angels under him. And the devil fell from heaven to the earth, and one third of the angels came with him. And that's his background. And as soon as this child Jesus was born, the devil tried to take his life. And whom did he use? Herod. Okay? Now let's go on. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now that's Jesus. Circle the word man-child and write Jesus. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. What's that talking about? The ascension of Christ. Actually, that verse covers the entire earthly life of Jesus Christ. She brought forth a man-child, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Whose throne? God's throne. What's he doing there at the throne of God now? Interceding for us. Don't you see? In these first five verses, we start back with the fall of Satan before man was ever created, and go all the way to now, you might say, to the ascension of Christ as our intercessor in heaven. All right? Now in verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. Now, when the woman, who's the woman? Israel. When Jesus Christ went back to heaven, what happened to Israel? She was scattered. And she has been scattered all through these many, many years. And so there you have the scattering of Israel. Now, that scattering ends with the first half of the tribulation period of 3.5 years, and you have it here. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days, that's 1,260 days, or 3.5 years of 30-day months. Now, that's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, follow me carefully. The tribulation period is ushered in by the rapture. As soon as the rapture takes place, the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. He comes to offer Israel his protection. For 3.5 years, he has a covenant with Israel, and she lives in peace under the Antichrist or the man of sin. Now, that is this 1,260 days. Now, when that 1,260 days are ended, the first half of the tribulation is ended. Now, tell me, think quickly, think harder now. What makes the last half of the tribulation period worse than the first half of the tribulation period? One event. What is it? Satan is what? Cast out of heaven finally. Okay, Brother Fisk and Brother Helton. Let's see. Brother Fisk, you be God. And Brother Helton? You be old Lucy himself. And you come, no, better still, you come right here. And you two fellows be as angels. You stay right there, fine. Okay. All together, all together. Okay. Now then, it is before man was created. And here we have Lucifer and his angels in heaven with God. You're going to be God. Okay? So what happened? Lucifer decided he's going to what? Take over. And so he and his angels were cast down, that's fine, to the earth. Now let me have one of you, Loretta, let me use you right here. You're going to be Eve there. And so, and we won't have an Adam right now, but Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they've sinned, and now then the devil is causing trouble to the human race. Tell us you all drink liquor and nag at home and everything. Look, he's growing horns already, if you look very carefully. And okay, but there's something else. Though the devil was cast out of heaven, he still has access to heaven. So he comes back to heaven, and he tells God what a crook Loretta is. And then he goes back to Loretta and tells Loretta what a crook God is. See? So, and then he goes back to heaven and says, Lord, she's not as good as you think she is. Then he goes back to earth and says, you can't depend on the word of God. Then he goes back to heaven. All right? And so he just keeps on going back between heaven and earth. Now, I said he just keeps on. Forgive me for putting it this way, but this sure is a lazy devil, I'll let it be sure. Okay, keep on going. And he keeps commuting and keeps commuting. Then there rises up down here on earth a man of sin. Now then, the devil comes back and he talks to this man of sin and tries to get him to play havoc. And the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, he keeps on commuting. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, he goes to God, comes back to earth and talks to the Antichrist. He keeps on. And so finally, his angels start commuting too, by the way. All right, now then, hold it right there. Now then, that's what happened up in verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars, or angels of heaven. Now in verse 7, you have another war in heaven, with the same characters. And there's war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there found place found any more in heaven. and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now then, what happened? Now then the devil comes over to the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is the entire object of the devil's attention. The Antichrist becomes the devil incarnate. And just as Jesus had an earthly ministry as God incarnate, the Antichrist would have an earthly ministry as Satan incarnate for 3.5 years. So that's the difference in the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years, he accused the brethren and does business on earth and back accuses man to God and God to man. Man to God, and God to man, man to God, and God to man, until finally, in the middle of the tribulation period, in verses 7 and following, he's cast out to the earth. And no longer is there any access of the devil in heaven. Now, look in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That doesn't mean he accused them all the time. He meant he did it by day, he did it by night. And now he's cast down. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe, the inhabitants of earth! Why woe? Because, here it is. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. Thank you, fellows. And ma'am. Now, I want you to notice that little line. Having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath just or but a short time. Do you know why? Right now. Do you know why that sin is getting so much worse? Because the devil knows he doesn't have much time. Did you ever see a boxing match and notice a fellow that was losing on points? Did you ever notice the last round, the way he comes out, swinging everything but the post? I mean, here's a guy that's been jabbing in the whole boxing match. Boy, the last round he comes out and he's just giving it all he's got. Why? Because he knows he has a short time. He knows that the fight is almost over. Did you ever notice a football game? In the last, they have what they call a two-minute drills, where if you have the ball, in the last 2 minutes, you do a certain thing. You run to the sideline to try to stop the clock, and so forth. And so the devil knows he has but a short time. Now look down to verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast in under the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who was the woman? Israel, which means during the last 3.5 years, the dragon will persecute Israel. Now, what's the difference? In the first 3.5 years, he offered the Messiah, the Antichrist offered himself as the Messiah. You know what? The most suave, pleasant people in the world are false teachers. That's one reason why you shouldn't even go to a liberal church. You know why? Because you like the guy. You like him. There's no way in the world a fundamentalist preacher can be as kind and as nice and as suave as a liberal. The very nature of our message is hellfire and damnation. The very nature of our message is the wholeness of God. The very nature of our message is God's righteousness. The very nature of our message is hatred for sin, hatred for evil. We have to preach that way. Now, that's why you, listen, that's why you shouldn't let your daughter go with her boyfriend to his church. It's not a fundamental church. That's why you shouldn't let your son swap visits. There's no way in this world I can compete and be right with God with a liberal preacher for your affection. None at all. None. That's why that no preacher ought to go to the ministerial association. I was watching the morning news the other day on CBS. And they said, we're going to interview an author from Canada. His name is Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton was interviewed on the Nationwide News. Chuck Templeton was at one time a fundamental evangelist. He was an evangelist who believed this Bible. If I'm not mistaken, Dr. John Rice preached for him one time at the, what church? Avenue Road? In Toronto? Did you folks know? Avenue Road in Toronto. And Chuck Templeton was a Bible preacher. But now, wait a minute. Chuck Templeton accepted a position as being evangelist for the National Council of Churches. Now, why? Well, he wants to help them. That's always the devil's song and dance. Stay in to clean it up. But what you do, you stay in, they mess you up. See? You stay in, clean out the garbage, and you become part of the garbage. Chuck Templeton became disenchanted, became a liberal, and then finally he quit the ministry, went to Hollywood, and was writing script for Hollywood movies. And now he avowed on nationwide television that he is an agnostic. Now, where'd all that start? Where'd all that start? It started when he began to hobnob with the suave crowd. The Antichrist, don't you think for a single minute the Antichrist is going to be some Adolf Hitler marching across the country like that. Oh, no. No. The Antichrist will be able to teach and personify Dale Carnegie's course on how to win friends and influence people. The Antichrist will deceive the little, and by the way, it's not easy to deceive the little nation Israel. He'll deceive Israel. And will offer himself as the Messiah, and because he's suave, she will fall for him. And the first 3.5 years, he protects her, he says. And the last 3.5 years, he turns on her. When I came to Hammond 16 years ago, this church was a member of the American Baptist Convention. It was not what you'd call a real strong cooperating church. There was an element of strong American Baptists in the church. I didn't know much about the American Baptist Convention. And so some of the folks suggested I go to the annual meeting. Well, Jim Lyons and I went down to Anderson, Indiana for the annual meeting of the American Baptist Convention just to see what went on. And boy, you talk about a welcome. Man, I was going to slip in. They had me up in the front. They welcomed me as pastor of one of the leading churches in the state. Boy, they rolled out the red carpet. I didn't even think they'd know I was there. And then they had the annual convention sermon. I'll never forget it. A Reverend Mrs. Miller was her name, from Boston, Massachusetts. And the text of her message, why the blacks and whites ought to intermarry. But I want you to get this. Brother, you never will see a nicer reception than I got when I went down there to visit. Look, that's one reason why a preacher shouldn't go to the ministerial association. Because those are nice guys. Some of the nicest, friendliest people in this town are liberal preachers. They're masters of deception. They have to be. There's not a liberal church in this town that doesn't have some born-again people in it who do not know the church is liberal because the pastor is the master of deception. So, that's why you shouldn't go with an unsaved boy. That's why you shouldn't run around with unsaved people. Why you shouldn't visit liberal churches. That's why you shouldn't hobnob with the liberal crowd. Because, quite frankly, the world counts nice. They're nicer than we are. I can't get up next Sunday morning and say, beloved, we're all one big family. God is the Father of us all. Let us have no bitterness. Let us love. Love is the signature of God's people. All of us are God's people. One great family. It matters not what the color. We're all one family. Now, what he means is, let the whites and the blacks and all others marry each other. What he means is, you don't have to get born again. But I can't preach that next Sunday. Why? I've got to get up and say, if you don't get born again, you're going to hell. Now, listen. Now, that doesn't... I can't with my message compete with a guy. You will like him better. Okay. Well, you say, a holy preacher. You say, you mean folks will like... Yes, folks like the liberal preacher better than they like the fundamental preacher. Now, you don't because you're born again, but the average person does. Well, you say, why doesn't he have a big church then? One reason. Because I got somebody working to gather my crowd for me. You see? How many of you people in this room, the first time you walked in this church, now be honest, the first time you walked in this church, you did not like me? Raise your hand. Felt negative. Be honest. Well, fine. Well, fine. Well, fine. That's one of the most discouraging things I've seen in a long time. All right, now, wait a minute. What happened? There's somebody talking to you back there. See? I mean, I've got the taste you hate three times a week. But there's somebody talking to you, you see. Now, that's the difference. Look, brother, if it were not for the Holy Spirit, all we fundamentalists would be in a mess. But He convinces people, especially God's people. So the Antichrist comes as first 3.5 years, peaceful, last 3.5 years, he turns loose. Now look down in verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth a man-child, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Here's interesting. Into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time. How many is a time? How many are times? 2. 1 and 2 is how many? 3. And a half a time, and 3 is 3.5. What do you think that is? That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 are called 1,260 days. The last 3.5 are called time of times and a half time, the same thing. From the face of the serpent. I want you to notice how he's changed from a dragon to a serpent. Now, notice the words, into her place. Now, I'm not sure this is true, but I rather think so. There is a place. Do you remember from my Bible studies before who the Edomites are? Edomites were descendants of Edom, who before his name was Edom, was what? Esau, right. And the word Edom means what? Red. Same word as Adam. Means red. The Edomites settled down south of Judea, or south of Jerusalem, down in, I don't have miles away, but many miles away, a little place called Selah. Oh, there was a place there where the Edomites were called Selah. Selah, S-E-L-A, means high place, high rock, high mountain. Selah was a place about a mile long, not quite a mile long, and not quite a third of a mile wide. All around Selah was surrounded by sandstone cliffs. Actually, Selah was a place sort of like a gorge. You've seen the Royal Gorge or some cut out, a place like a gorge, but a mile long nearly and a third of a mile wide. Completely surrounded by giant cliffs like surround a gorge. In that little place called Selah, by the way, Selah was settled by Edom, and the Arabs took it about 300 B.C. And about 100 A.D., the Roman Empire took it over. And in that little place called Selah, the Romans built houses in the cliffs. They built shops. They built temples. And there still are dwelling places in the cliffs in Selah. Now, Selah's name is now called, most of us call it, Petra. It's called the Rose Red City. Those cliffs, high cliffs, around this mile by a third of a mile, little city, the cliffs are all different colors. Yellow, blue, but greatly predominated by the color red. Now, most Bible teachers, since Eden is mentioned so often concerning prophecy, most Bible teachers believe that the nation of Israel will flee down to what was Edom, and then was Selah, and now Petra. And for 3.5 years, the nation Israel will be preserved in that little place as all who can gather in that one place. You said, Brother Hiles, how many folks in Israel now?
I don't know.
Let me know what the population of Israel is. I should have looked it up. I don't know. Anybody know? Well, several million anyway. But you say, how can that many folks get in that space? Oh, wait a minute. You can get 105,000 people in the Los Angeles Coliseum football stadium. Soldiers Field over here used to see over 100,000 people before they limited the seating size. It would be no problem at all for 1 million people to live in an area, to exist in an area a mile long by a third of a mile wide. No problem at all. So, she'll be protected there for 3.5 years. And now in verse 15, and this is all symbolic, and I won't go into it because of time, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. Now, I wonder why the flood. Well, I imagine if the devil could put water down in Petra, it'd pretty good way to drown all of them, wouldn't it? All right? And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, and the dragon, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed to keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So Revelation chapter 12 goes all the way back to Satan and his angels, and they're casting out of heaven, and all the way to the end of the tribulation period. And step by step, it is the little Bible. More of the Bible is taught in this one chapter than in any other single chapter in the Bible. Now, the key to this is to show us that the devil is cast out of heaven finally as the accuser of the brethren. And all the rest of it is just built around it, focusing on the fact that this is the middle of the tribulation period. Consequently, everything that follows in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 take place on earth during the last 3.5 years. Everything that transpired in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm sorry, chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 transpired during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And the last 3.5, of course, become the awful time when the Antichrist becomes Satan incarnate. Okay, sit up straight. Let's review now and see what you know. Let's close our Bible to make it easier, won't it? Okay, there was a woman, and that woman represents, say it, Israel. And that woman was expecting a baby, a man-child, and that man-child was to be Jesus. But there was in this story, in this drama, there was a dragon, and that dragon is and was the devil. Now, to acquaint you with who the devil is, the story tells us that the devil was once one of the three what? Archangels. And under him was what percentage of heaven's angels? 1/3. And the devil decided he was going to become over God, and so he was cast out of heaven and cast where? To the earth. And there, the devil started accusing man, or God to man, and man to God. And so then for all of those years, between that time when he met Eve in the Garden of Eden, under the middle of the tribulation period, he accuses it. He comes to earth and says God can't be depended on. He comes to heaven and says man can't be depended on. Hey, every critical tongue in this room is his cousin. Hey, nobody ever says a bad word about anybody else personally unless it becomes a cohort with the fella who's the author of all of it. You say, wait a minute, what if it's true? Okay, the devil went to God, didn't he, and told God that Job was a sinner. Was Job a sinner? Yeah. It's true, wasn't it? It's true. The devil said to God, if you would afflict his body and take his possessions, he wouldn't be so good. And by the way, he wasn't so good for a while. We don't know the part of Job very much, that the middle part when he's talking to his friends. Job got where he complained and griped and fussed and threw a fit and got proud of himself. The devil was right. You people. A lady came to my office the other night. She told me what another lady had told her about what would happen in my office. She didn't name the lady. And it was a negative thing. Now, whoever it was that told that lady that, well, you think the Holy Spirit taught her to talk that way? Wonder who did. The accuser of the brethren. Anybody who accuses a brother or sister in Christ is in cohorts with the accuser of the brethren. But you say it's true! Well, good night. Anything you'd want to say bad about any of us would be just about true. You say, now, well, I know, but this guy, he's a murderer. My Bible says if you hate somebody, you're murdering your heart. Yeah. But he's committed awful, awful sex sin. My Bible said that if you look someone lust after them, you committed sex sin. And Jesus told the fellows to cast the stone if they weren't guilty of that sin. Anybody here ever covet? Think, as far as God's concerned, you're a thief. Now, the truth is, there's not one of us that doesn't deserve to be slandered and criticized and everything else. But there so happens there's not any of us good enough to be qualified to do it. See? And that's why that you should never be a part. Hey, you think when the devil comes to your child and says to your child, don't believe the Bible, that biology teacher at high school is right. I mean, not ours high school, but he's right. Don't believe the Bible. You think the devil or your child will listen to the devil? Well, what if one of the devil's cohorts comes and says something bad about somebody? Huh? You listen, don't you? It's a funny thing. You don't want your kid to, but you do. Now, you listen to me. You are inspired by the devil every time you say anything bad about one of the brethren. That's why we have a rule, Howells Anderson College, that no Bible preaching school, no Bible believing school, or preacher, or church is ever criticized in a classroom, and you'll forgive me, but we'll fire anybody that does it one time. You say, what if they won't go? Well, we'll just kill them. We'll fire them. We're not going to have a bunch of students at our school gathering around after a guest speaker speaks on chapel and cutting them to shreds in the dormitories. If we find out about it, they'll be shipped home on one offense. Why? We're not going to get in cohorts with the accuser of the brethren. Well, you said, now, wait a minute. You just took off a while ago on liberal preachers. I don't mind accusing the liberals. I think we ought to say, Norman Vincent Peale, stay away from his church. Okay? Say, why? Because he's not one of the brethren. But when it comes to brethren, God's blood-bought people. Look, if we don't get together pretty soon, ladies and gentlemen, outside the fence, we're going to be together on the inside of the fence anyhow. And so, okay. So then, in the middle of the tribulation period, something happens. The devil is finally cast out of heaven and cast to the earth into the body of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist becomes Satan incarnate, and then he breaks the treaty that he had with Israel, and it's no longer peace, and Israel flees to a little place called Petra, and is preserved there for how long? 3.5 years. And then, of course, at the end of that, our Lord's going to come, and Israel will dwell in her own land forever, and our Lord will establish his kingdom on earth and shall rule and reign from Mount